You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You can go sit in a pew in a church. You know, Billy Graham, who I had the pleasure of, Reverend Billy Graham, of interviewing, he said, people often, like an inoculation for a flu or something, he said, people often get just enough that they never, ever get it.
That's true. I mean, I got just enough, and that just enough had me wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that little more. So, you know, as soon as I felt a little better in my life as far as getting sober, I wanted to be more sober.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I got to do? What else can I do? And I just become a sponge and just absorbed all. If you've got a problem drinking, I recommend at least trying out Alcoholics Anonymous for a certain time. If you don't want to stay there, fine.
They also have Celebrate Recovery now at many churches.
Mm-hmm. I also did part of that.
Supposedly, quote unquote, the Christian version. Both are good, but
they deal primarily with the Beatitudes.
The Beatitudes.
The eight Beatitudes. Yes, they deal with that. I was involved with Celebrate Recovery for 2.5 years.
Really?
Yeah, in 2004,
it doesn't matter.
Right?
Yeah.
Over at there at Celebrate Recovery, two and a half years.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. You know, it's a Christian-based 12-step program. They deal with the eight Beatitudes primarily. Very good program. You know, and if that's what you need,
excuse me. Nobody's yelling at you or telling you what to do.
No.
That's the big difference, you know.
Same thing. You just don't. They're all suggestions. If you want to stay sober, great. This is what we did to stay sober. If you want to try one of these methods, great. You want to try your own method? That's fine too. For me personally, I'm going to go with things that are proven. doing it on my own, it never worked.
Well, they say learning to take care of your side of the street. You know, we have a problem in the world. I guess today, maybe it's always been. People want to control other people. Mm-hmm. And the quickest way you can drive somebody to distraction or to the very thing you're trying to keep them away from is to tell them what to do, you know? And I remember when I had a couple of deaths in my life, and I'd gotten involved in drinking, and I was sitting there at the Ocean Grill, and a friend of mine, he said, Don, and he said, the waitress went by with the alcohol drinks, and I thought, I stared at her and I just said, "Ooh, I guess I can't drink what I wanted to, you know." And he says, "Oh no, you can." I said, "I can?" He goes, "Yeah." As a matter of fact, let me take out my wallet. I'll buy you a drink. And all of a sudden, because he didn't say I couldn't, I looked. I thought about it. I said, "Oh, well then I decide not. I don't want to. I choose not to." That's what I said. So in other words, it was a very profound moment because, you know, it's kind of like Jesus doesn't force himself on anybody. I heard somebody recently; they actually heard his voice. And he said, "Well, what do I do?" He said, "All you have to do is say yes." You know, he didn't tell me how to do it, but you know, it's like, in the scriptures, Jesus says, "I wish above all things that thou were either hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." And you go, "Whoa!" I remember my friend Bobby Vendetta told me that he became a Christian. I was not a Christian. I did not believe in Jesus. I thought it was a bunch of foolishness. And I'd gotten inducted into Transcendental Meditation in Boston when I was 16. At 14 years old, I read an autobiography of a yogi meditating out in the desert and whatever. Anyway, but what was I saying? I was going to go somewhere with that. What was I talking about? When I get off of my little stories and I go down roads now. I used to be able to find my way back.
Now
I go like, why did I step up? Particularly if it involves somehow me or my ego.
Right.
Then
right.
It's like, it's to distraction. And it's like, you know, but I'm trying to, so what were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about, Jesus, he called upon.
Oh yeah. To making a decision.
Yes.
He doesn't force. He's a gentleman. You know, he makes himself available, but it's got to be your decision. But he says, "I called you. You did not call me. I called you, and you accepted." You know, if you do accept him.
That's it. But he, because of free will, He's not going to mess with it. He wants us to make that decision. My thoughts, my thinking, right? He wants us to make the decision to follow him. You know, and I think I may know why.
Why?
Because if I have to make that decision, what is it going to be? Am I less likely to not follow through, or am I likely to follow? If I have to physically and constantly make a decision on something, because of how we as people are, we're going to naturally drive ourselves towards that, you know, that decision, making that decision work. But if we don't make a decision, we just allow God to do it, then we're not going anywhere. He's not going to do that for us. He's going to allow us to make the decision, to learn what we got to learn. Yes, if we make a bad decision, he's always going to be there. And he might have to hang out with us to make sure we don't step in a hole while we're over there making this bad decision. But he will do that for us. But I think it's because we have to make it on our own. For me, it wouldn't work. You just can't tell me what to do, because I was going to bring that up a minute ago. I think people, all of us, have one thing in common: stubborn. I don't think there's, you think of anybody that's not stubborn?
The Bible says rebellion is likened to witchcraft. Yeah, stubborn. Yeah. Pride, P-R-I-D-E. Pride. Imagine that, you know?
And you start thinking about that. I was thinking about this just yesterday, in fact. It's funny we're talking about this now, because we are all stubborn. I don't know of anybody, Rhett, and I'm, hey, if there's people out there that aren't, please call and tell me, because I don't know of that. I tried to think about this, you know. We all start out that way.
And nobody teaches you to lie. Nobody says, hey, who ate the last cookie in the cookie jar? And, you know, you're 5 years of age. I don't know.
That's right.
Why lie? I mean,
yeah, you know, absolutely.
Even I've seen.
We start doing it so early on. When it's,
do, we do.
To us, it's innocence and stuff. You know, we're young. But you know what? We take that innocence and we just with it.
And then there's the burden. If you lie, you know you've lied. So what do you think? If you're a conscientious person, you think less of yourself.
Correct. I agree.
Less of yourself. And you know that old saying, what a web we weave when at first we begin to deceive. Also, Jesus said, the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. That's what's written in the scriptures. God is not a man that he should lie. You know?
Unbelievable. So as far as recovery, you know, I've been sober now 23 and almost 24 years, and I would not have no desire to drink. I have no desire to ever think like that again. Because it's a whole trying to think about where I'm going to get the alcohol, where I'm going to store my beer, what I got to do. It was obsessing.
Plus, it's not very pleasant because they say what the alcohol is a downer. So you go because you're upset about something, or you're grieving, or you're going through some painful situation. You want to numb yourself. For a moment, you're numb. And then 15 minutes later, you're actually lower than you were prior to indulging in a drug or alcohol.
That is so true, so true. I don't want to be that way.
I remember the day that I was born again. I was alone in my living room in the ghetto of Troy, New York, and you know, I kind of felt bad about this, like maybe that God would be offended by this at first. So for the first, you know, 20 years, maybe I didn't tell anybody, but the moment that I got born again, I was high, this beautiful high, and I went immediately, oh. So drugs are the counterfeit. This is the real thing. This is why people take drugs. They're searching for this, but it's the counterfeit. This is the real thing. And it was I can't explain it to you. I sat down in a rocking chair and I said, well, this is what the black folks are talking about. It was a black man who used to tell me all about Jesus, and it led me to the Lord, Morrell Diggs. Hope I see him in heaven. But anyway, So I said, you know, this is what they're talking about. This was joy. And I always thought J-O-Y, joy and happiness, were synonyms, same meaning. And then suddenly I was quite aware and said, oh, this is what the black folks talk about. This is different. This is not happiness. This is joy. So like, you know, if you're out there and you hear me, Jesus, I wouldn't mind having that all the time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because when I have had experiences of a day when I don't pray and a day when I do pray, And it's not just praying, but if I really have a heartfelt connection with the Lord, I can feel I'm almost like a giddiness. I'm so happy. And I'm a better person when the Holy Spirit is ruling, you know, when I've surrendered to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit has his way with me. I'm a more patient person, a more loving person, a kinder person.
It's
not about me, it's about you.
Exactly. As long as I allow him to run the show, my life turns out better than I could.
Yeah.
Daily goes on.
Now, what kind of a church were you attending? And what kind of a
It's a non-denominational church.
Non-denominational, okay. So, you know, I have a friend of mine. He's probably one of the righteous men I know in town here, young man, married, two children, I think it was two boys. And, you know, I said, do you go to church? He goes, you know, I don't really go. I don't get anything out of it. And I said, well, I said, you know, it's not what you're getting out of it. I said, maybe you're going to sit next to a person who lost their entire family in a car accident this week. Maybe you're going to encourage somebody. Maybe you're going to shake somebody's hand who needs a little kindness. You know, it's not all about what we get, but what we give, too. Because in that program you said that you're involved with, they say that you will not succeed if you don't give the program away. Is that correct?
That's true.
Don't duplicate yourself.
Right. Can't keep it if you don't give it away.
I wonder why that is.
I think it has to do with, for me, it was the more I gave away, the more I gave to somebody, the better I felt about me. And the stronger that feeling was, it enabled me to stay sober again.
You know, there's scripture that says, give unto others, and I think it might be Micah, I'm not sure. Give unto others, and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. Give unto others. So the reason I bring this up is somebody's listening right now and you're in the doldrums or you're down and out. It's very hard if you're in a depression, to swim through that. I know it's like, I said to my friend, I never knew depression. A few years ago, I experienced some, and I said to my friend who had experienced depression, I said, is it kind of like swimming through chocolate pudding? He goes, exactly.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America's new clinic is now open in Port St. Lucie. Do you suffer from poor sleep? This can be a root cause of Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has tools to address sleep issues. Also, in the observational study of their protocol, 75% of patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. These are amazing results. There is now hope for loved ones suffering from cognitive decline. Online at atca.ai or 772-298-4477.